We hope that you will stay just for a few minutes following our final amen to dismiss the assembly, that we might take a moment to honor our high school graduates. We'll be making a few comments here in the auditorium, giving them a gift, telling of their future plans, and then everyone is invited to go to the fellowship hall where we're going to have pre-dessert. That's where you have dessert before your meal. You know, usually you have dessert after the meal. Today we're going to have it before the meal. And Skidmore told me that means that's called pre-dessert instead of dessert. All right. So we want you to stay here and enjoy this time together and go in and have pre-dessert. All right. We want to talk about Peter today. Hope you got a Sunday talk as you entered the building from the greeters. You'll notice that actually I have this morning's 7 points and tonight's 7 points there in that outline. So for those of you that like to follow along and fill those in as we go through the lesson, realize you need to hang on to that. Stuff it in your Bible and you come back this evening and then we will finish that outline. Peter is a wonderful character study because he embodies many of the things that we have in our life. That as we look at Peter, there's some good things to copy, some things that we do that he does, and we'll get into that probably a little bit more so this evening. But tonight we want to discuss Peter's fall. Some of the things that he did that contributed to the fact that he ends up denying the Lord. And that's not a real good path, as you can see on the arrow there on the right-hand side of the screen. The arrow is going down. This morning's lesson is not real positive per se. This would be examples to shun, where tonight the arrow is going to point upward. And as we look at Peter's life out of the gospel accounts, there are going to be good examples to follow. Because that's what the Bible has. The Bible is full of bad examples to shun and good examples to follow. Peter is no different. So let's take a look this morning for a few moments at those factors that contributed to Peter's fall. What were some of the things that he allowed himself to get caught up in or start doing in his life that ended up causing him to fall away and not be present when the Lord needed him during the time of the crucifixion? And if you see yourself, well, okay. These are not necessarily pretty things. These are not necessarily good things. But by the same token, if you see yourself, you can make the application and say, yep, got to stop that. I don't want to go down that road. We need to nip this thing in the bud and change whatever needs to be changed for sure. So let's take a look at the 7 steps then in Peter's fall. And the first thing that we want to look at is, believe it or not, Peter had doubts. Peter did have doubts. Generally, when we talk about doubts, we talk about Thomas, and we call him the doubting Thomas, and that particular phrase is we label anyone who seemingly has reservations or doubts about something. We say, oh, you're just a doubting Thomas, you know. But Peter had his doubts as well. When he was in the boat and Jesus was walking out on the water, while many people say that this particular statement is one of courage and one of great faith, where when Peter said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out on the water to you. And I suppose that statement could be taken that way there in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. But think about it. Who else would be walking on the water other than Jesus? In some ways, Peter and the rest of the apostles should have jumped at that chance to be able to go out to Jesus on the water and believe in him. But he says, Lord, if it's you, well, again, who else would it be? And maybe I'm reading more into this than what should be, but nevertheless, Peter had doubts. When Jesus was describing for him there in Matthew chapter 16 the fact that he was going to be betrayed, turned over to the scribes and elders and scourged and crucified, Peter said, no way, this isn't going to happen to you. To where Jesus had to rebuke him and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Your thoughts are focused on man and that not of God. Peter was doubting the fact that Jesus already knew what was ahead of him. He was doubting that Jesus would allow that to happen to himself within his ministry. And again, there's other passages I can look at, but I think as you study Peter, you're going to see every now and then some doubts. You're going to see some real shortcomings in his life. I don't know where you are within your life and doubting and having a lack of faith, but I guess it's all right to be there. It's just not all right to stay there. If you stay there, then that you can open the door for all kinds of other problems to come in. And so if you've got a doubt or a lack of faith in something, I understand that. Let's work on it. Let's not let that become a real detriment and not let that become a hindrance in our serving the Lord, because we don't want to fall into one of these traps that Peter did, which ultimately led to his denying the Lord. The second thing I want to discuss this morning is the fact that Peter did a lot of boasting. Peter did a lot of boasting, and this always got him in trouble. Turn over, if you got your Bible ready, to Mark chapter 14. I want to begin reading here in verse 27 and just show an example here of one of Peter's great boasts here. Again, this is Mark 14, beginning in verse 27. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, because it is written, 'I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered.'" I know Bradley just read this, but this is important. "But after I have been raised, I will go before you into Galilee." But Peter said, "Even though all fall away, yet I will not." Now, on the surface, I like that. Peter's just saying, you know, hey, I'm going to hang in there, thick and thin, good and bad. Don't have to worry about me, Lord. But there's something about that statement that's very troublesome, because Jesus just said, back up there in verse 27, "You will all fall away." This becomes not something of a boast. This becomes a little deeper than that, that Peter once again is correcting Jesus. He said, "Well, I know that's what you said, but here's what I'm going to do." We wouldn't do that, would we, in our lives, look at the Scripture, to what Jesus had to say and the Bible has to say, "Well, that's all good and fine, but here's what I'm going to do." Why, we'd be appalled at that, you know. We say, "Well, that's terrible," but yet I think at times in life we do that very thing. We boast, we think we're in control, we don't really listen to what the Lord has to say, and sure enough, we get our lives in trouble when that happens. And so as you see there in the rest of the text, Jesus says, "Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." But, verse 31 now, "But Peter kept saying insistently." This guy is bullheaded, we might say. This guy is just, he's stubborn, all right? He says, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Wow, is he going to have to eat those words? I mean, you've read the story before. But again, look at how the boasting is getting him in trouble. And not only Peter, because the text goes on there in verse 31, it says all the rest of them were saying the same thing. They just weren't listening. Truly, let's not make that mistake and be very boastful and very arrogant and then not listen to what the Lord really says. We don't have this thing called life figured out. I know I don't have this thing called life figured out, but sometimes in my arrogance and my pride, I do, and I'll say, "Okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that." Somebody once told me, says, "If you want to make God laugh, make plans." You know? I like that. I mean, God's will is going to be done whether we're part of it or not. And sometimes we make all these plans, and none of it gets carried out because it wasn't the Lord's will to begin with. Instead of being so arrogant about what we're going to do and what we're not going to do, we need to be very humble in saying, "Yes, what the Lord wills, that's what I'm going to do. What He says in His Word, that's what I'm going to do." James, in James chapter 4 and verse 16, says, "You boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil." In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 26, the Apostle Paul writes, "Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." That's what happens when you become boastful. Not only does it hurt you and your relationship with the Lord, it hurts your relationship with other people. You start challenging one another. You start envying one another. And the horizontal relationships start breaking down, all because you were arrogant and you started boasting. Peter made that mistake. Don't you make that mistake. Greg doesn't need to make that mistake either. Number three, Peter did some sleeping. Yeah, got him in trouble too. When the Lord needed him there in the Garden of Gethsemane and asked them to pray for 1 hour, that's it. He didn't ask for a day, didn't ask for half a day, didn't ask for a week. He asked for 1 hour. And truly, Peter fell asleep. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 37, Jesus came and found them all sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for just 1 hour?" The spiritual application here is that sleep is not always used as what we think of physical sleep in the Bible. Many times within the scriptures, when people are said to be asleep, they're not spiritually faithful. They're not carrying out what they ought to be doing. They're not spiritually awake, busy, working, praying, doing all the things that they need to be doing. They're asleep at the switch. You ever done that when you pulled up to an intersection with a light and maybe you're the third or fourth car and the light goes green and you just sit there? And the person there at the front of the line, they don't realize the light's turned green. And you think, boy, they're asleep at the switch up there. I don't know if I'm going to make it through the intersection on this timing. Too many of us at times are asleep at the switch. Spiritually speaking, we don't always see the opportunities for growth. We don't see the opportunities to serve. We don't grasp the opportunities to study, to read, to pray, whatever it might be. We're asleep at the switch. We're just kind of going through life in an automatic kind of way, and we're missing things. You ever done that too when you're driving? You're driving from point A to point B, and you know you've got to go through a few little towns or stops along the way, and all of a sudden you just are driving along and you say, did we go through that little town back there? You know, I missed that little town back there. You ever done that? You just kind of reflectively driving along, you know, I don't remember making that turn back there, but I guess I did. Well, if you've done that driving, you've probably done it in life. And unfortunately, you may have done it in your spiritual journey, that you're just kind of sleepwalking here. Don't make that mistake. Be awake, be alert, be ready to serve. Be aware for the devil and his schemes. Don't be asleep spiritually. Sleep cost Peter. When Peter could have been spiritually strong for the Lord, serving the Lord, he was literally asleep, and Jesus did not like it. Number four, excuse me. There was some smiting going on in Peter's life. Yeah, some smiting. And you remember this with Malchus's ear, the slave of the high priest. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 50, a certain one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Luke records, and we know that is Peter that did that. Truly John chapter 18 and verse 10 brings that out. Peter thought he could help the Lord in this way. He realized things weren't going well, but you see, Peter had already forgotten about what Jesus had said earlier, that he was going to be turned over to the authorities, and he was going to be mistreated and abused and end up going to the cross. And now that those events were transpiring, Peter's panicking, and he doesn't know what to do. And so in what he probably thought to be a great act of bravery, he pulls the sword and cuts off Malchus' ear. Jesus wanted no part of it, of course. He calmly picked up the ear and healed Malchus by placing the ear back on his head and making it whole once again. Physical attributes never win spiritual battles. That's right. We should have learned that from David and Goliath. I mean, here's David. He's a small boy as compared to Goliath. I mean, everybody was small compared to Goliath. And he didn't like Saul's armor. He wasn't used to them. And he just had a sling. He didn't have a spear. He didn't have a shield. He didn't have all those things that warriors had, because physical attributes don't win spiritual battles. One of the great reasons that David slew Goliath, as we read about there in 1 Samuel chapter 18, was the fact he had a mighty faith in God. He realized this was more than a battle between Goliath and the armies of Israel. Because if you go back and read that text, Goliath was taunting Israel on behalf of the Philistine gods. This was a spiritual battle. This is whether or not God was going to prove himself as being the Jehovah, as being more powerful than all the Philistine idols and gods they had. David believed in God. Saul didn't. The Israelite army didn't. And yet they had all this physical armor and all this power, at least power they thought they had, and it was David, a shepherd's boy with a mighty faith in God, that killed that giant and overthrew the Philistines that day. When Peter thought he would help out God, he didn't help him out at all. When he thought he would come to Jesus' rescue, he didn't rescue anything. He just made the situation worse for himself. Truly, when it comes to our living life, we need to realize that God still looks upon the heart. Yes, doctrine is important, and we've got to do the right things to be pleasing to God. But I hope that the impetus of doing all the right things is because the heart is in the right place. I mean, if you're doing all the right things and your heart isn't in it, God knows that too. That doesn't work. Truly, Peter's heart was not in the right place. And so he turned to things that he thought that would help, but didn't help. And that's exactly what's going to happen to you and me if our heart's not in the right place. We're going to try to help out the Lord in ways that he doesn't need help. We're going to do some things that we think are going to make a difference, and it don't make a heap of beans a difference. Let's not fall into that trap. Let's take a look at life and say, you know what, I'm going to do it the Lord's way. I'm going to have my heart in the right place. And I'm not going to do it by my own might or my own power or my own wisdom, but I'm going to do it by His Spirit. There's a little obscure text over in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 that says that very thing. And I've thought about, you know, building a sermon on this for a long time, but don't know if I'll get the job done in the next 3 months. But nevertheless, in Zechariah 4 and verse 6, it says, "This word of the Lord, the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." We need to trust in God. We need to do things His way and not try to do things our way to improve our lot. Peter did some silly things, and this is one of them here, when he smited, if you will, he hit Malchus and cut off his ear. It just doesn't work. We've got to do it the Lord's way. Number 5, Peter followed afar off. Peter followed afar off. That's what happens when you're not doing well. You don't want to be close to Jesus when you're not doing good spiritually. A lot of times people don't even want to come to worship services if not doing good spiritually. Oh, I feel too guilty. Well, maybe guilty is the way you ought to feel, so you can turn your life around and get back doing what you ought to be doing. But Peter, instead of being right there, here this boasting apostle that says, if they all fall away, I won't fall away, is now following Jesus, but at a distance. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 54, it says, "Having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance." Jesus wrote a letter to the church of Laodicea that's recorded in Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. And he says, "Because you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth." Lukewarm Christians make Jesus sick. He said, "I'd rather have you one way or the other, but you're not fit. You're not any good to me in that respect, in that way." Peter was following at a distance. The very time the Lord needed him, the very time he needed a companion, somebody to hang in there with him through all these injustices that were going on, Peter didn't follow him behind him. He followed him at a distance. Are we cowardly sometimes? Do we have opportunities to share the faith with others and say, "No, I'm not going to do it. Got scared." Or an opportunity to serve and say, "I just don't think I really want to get involved here. Something bad might happen." That's following at a distance. Jesus took the opportunities that he had, and he always made the most of them. In fact, as Paul writes over there in Galatians chapter 6, "While we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith." We are to seize the opportunities. Peter had a wonderful opportunity to be a support and encouragement to Jesus, and he followed at a distance. I'm afraid too many of us, myself included, are in that group. Oh, we're followers, but we follow at a distance. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, "If anyone wishes to come after me," follow me, some of the translations say, "let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me." I look at that verse and it scares me to death in a lot of ways. I say, "Well, that's a lot. You know, deny self and pick up cross, you know, endure things and do that every day and follow him? Wow." Now, the good news about that verse is Jesus didn't ask any more than that. You know, I'm glad. There's enough there. He doesn't ask any more than that. The bad news about that verse is he doesn't ask any less. That's what he said. I can't tweak that and say, all right, I'll deny myself on Sundays and Wednesdays and make sure I get to church. And then I'll take up my cross every now and then, whenever it's convenient to be persecuted. And then I'll follow him at the distance I feel is comfortable to follow him. Now, I think a lot of times that's the way we live the passage, myself included. But I didn't always say it. There's no more, but there's also no less. Peter followed at a distance, and it was part of his undoing. Number six, it just gets worse. It really does. He sits with the ungodly. You know the story. They take him off, that is Jesus, to the house of the high priest, and it's kind of the middle of the night, and there's a fire going there, and there's some people around that fire getting warm, and so Peter decides that he's going to go join himself then to that group and warm himself by the fire and think this thing through, because it's just, everything's falling apart. I mean, here he tries to rescue Jesus by cutting off Malchus' ear, and that didn't go well, and now they're taking him to the high priest, and the Romans are getting involved, and oh my goodness. And so he goes and he sits with the ungodly. Yeah. You know, it does make a difference of the company that we keep. Now, sometimes we don't have a choice. You know, we have to work with other people or be around other folks. We can't separate ourselves totally out of the world. But a lot of times in life, we do have a choice as to who we associate with and who we hang around with. And yes, we are a product of our environment to a great extent in the choices that we make. And I think Peter made a bad one here in going and sitting with the ungodly, because you know what the last step will be here in just a second. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor in the seat of scoffers. Peter sat down with the ungodly, and the psalmist said, I want you to do just the opposite. He said, blessed is the man who does not take the counsel of the wicked. Blessed and wonderful is the person who does not stand in the path of sinners and does not sit in the seat of scoffers. Peter's doing the very exact opposite of what the psalmist would have him to do. But he goes on and he says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that he meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Why isn't Peter a tree firmly planted by streams of water? Well, we've looked at, you know, five things, and the sixth thing is he's sitting with the ungodly. You're just not going to be that strong. You're not going to be as strong as you think you are. If somebody's standing above you, it's a whole lot easier, for... They are standing below you, excuse me. If they're standing below you, it's a whole lot easier for them to pull you down than it is for them to pull, for you to pull them up. And truly, Peter made a bad choice in where he went and who he associated with. Don't you make that bad choice. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Now, I think a lot of us are still believing the lie. We say, oh, I can do it. I can handle it. I can make it. That's exactly what Paul says. Don't be deceived that you think you're strong enough to handle it. You're not. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Now, the Richard Rogers version says 9 times out of 4. You know. And it's true. That verse is true every time. All right. So, don't make the mistake he did. Lastly, what did it all lead up to? Denying the Lord. I mean, he's got doubts. Peter's boasting. He sleeps when he shouldn't. He's smiting people. He's being physical when he doesn't need to be. He follows afar off. And now he sits with the ungodly. Why not number seven? You know, it all led up to his finally denying the Lord. At Luke 22, beginning in verse 57. Woman, I do not know him. Here's a guy who just a few chapters ago had said he'd never deny the Lord, that he would never leave, even though the rest of them did. See how boasting got him in trouble? And a little later, another saw him and said, you're one of them, aren't you? But Peter said, I am not. And after about an hour passed, another man began to insist, saying, certainly this man was also with him, for he's a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, a cock crowed. And then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Oh, my. If looks could kill. I mean, wouldn't that just go right through you? Jesus has tried to help him. He's tried to encourage him. He's tried to be there for him. And everything that Jesus said about Peter came true. And when the rooster crowed, Peter knew he was dead in the water, so to speak. And from that distance, across the courtyard, Jesus turned and looked at him. Sends chills, doesn't it? Sends chills. This is the final step, and Peter's falling away. All these other things led up to it, that he finally did that which he said he'd never do, and that was to deny the Lord. Truly, God was faithful, and we know the rest of the story, that it does have a good ending, and you're going to have to come back tonight for that ending as to Peter and the good side and how he comes back to God. Don't make these mistakes as you see now listed on the screen. Deal with your doubts. If you have doubts, it's okay, but deal with them. Work on overcoming them. Don't boast. Don't sleep. Don't smite. Don't follow afar off. Don't sit with the ungodly when you have a choice. And obviously, don't deny the Lord. Tonight's lesson will be how Peter came back. Truly, the seven things that we see about Peter that are so positive and so wonderful that brought him back to faithful and active service. And so impressed was Jesus and God with Peter that Peter is allowed to give the very first gospel sermon and open the door of the gospel to the Jews and later then to the Gentiles. You talk about coming all the way back. Peter came all the way back. Come back tonight and we'll talk about the seven steps that he took to get back to God. And so as we offer heaven's invitation here this morning, are you guilty of one of the seven that we've looked at today to the point that you're ready to make that change and that you're ready to give your life over to Jesus Christ? We don't want anyone to fall away. We don't want anyone to be lost. And so we offer heaven's invitation for those who need to give their life to God. Eric has selected a song to encourage you. If you need to come, won't you do so now while we stand?
Savior bleed and in my sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a one as I? At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Thank you, Greg. Our closing song will be number 238.
You are the words and the music. You are the song that I sing. are the melody, you are the harmony. Praise to your name I will bring. You are the Lord of lords, you are the mighty God, you are the King of all kings. So now I give back to you the songs that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing.
Let's be dismissed in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much that we could come today to hear the good news, to be there for each person who needs that help. And we thank you, Lord, that you provide so many people that are always there for us. Lord, we hear so much on TV and the newspaper of the gloom and doom that there's no hope. But when we come today, we hear there is hope. And we thank you, Lord, that you give that to us. We pray for all of our students, all of our graduates. Lord, they put in many, many hours of time studying, and we pray for our teachers who have put in time preparing the lessons and always being there for their students. We thank you, Lord, that we have a system that teaches the truth. And we pray that that's always the case. Lord, we pray for those who were mentioned this morning that are facing surgeries. We pray that that will go well. We pray for all the doctors, nurses, and all the caregivers that you have put in place to help us when those times come. We pray, Lord, for the sick and the homebound. We pray for those in the nursing homes. Give them hope. Give them a reason for living. We pray for those who are traveling today. Pray that you'll give them safe travel back home and that they will be well rested from their trip. Lord, we pray for all those folks who have fallen away. Please give them hope, and they'll come back to us someday soon. We pray that you will always continue to be close to us when those times, in the good times and the bad times. Lord, we'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. I'm Logan Skidmore. I'm the intern here for the summer, in case that you didn't know. And today we are going to congratulate the high school graduates of 2009. And I would like to start off with Brittany Baker. Is Brittany in here? There she is. Brittany Baker is a graduate of Warrensburg Latham High School. She has taken dance for 13 years. She had honor roll all 4 years while at Warrensburg. And she plans to study psychology at Eastern Illinois University. Brittany. Next will be Michael Scott. Michael is a graduate of Moroa Forsyth High School. He played football, basketball, and baseball. He had honor roll all 4 years. He is a member of the state championship football and basketball team. And he also won the achievement of being the 2009 Moroa Forsyth Athlete of the Year. He plans to attend Eastern University and plans on having a major in accounting and plans to get a CPA. Michael. Our third high school graduate is Jordan Zellhart. He's a graduate of Moroa Forsyth High School. His achievements include playing football, basketball, and baseball. He had honor roll all 4 years. He was a member of the state championship in basketball. His future plans are to attend Lincoln Land Community College in the fall to play baseball. And from there, he plans to attend a four-year university and major in accounting. where he will receive his CPA and plans to work at an accounting firm down in the South. Say other graduates include Brady Rhodes from Millikan and Barbara Falkenheim, who received a master's from ISU. But these here are the graduates of the high school, and we have we have a banquet prepared for them here in the fellowship hall that you're all invited to come to. And if we could have one last hand for our graduates. Thank you.